Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us.
Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The 49ers started the season 1-0, and there were a lot of good things in week one. But how much will apply to week two against Sam Darnold and the Vikings? We'll get to all of it on Stats and Cone, sponsored by BetUS Sportsbook and Casino. What is good, everybody? Welcome to Stats and Cone here on the Gold Standard and the Fans First Sports Network. I'm Rob Stats Guerrera. He's Grant Cone. Grant, it's Wednesday. The 49ers are 1-0. Food tastes better. Life is good.
Yeah, but I don't look at sports that way. I want to know what the issues are. Where I'm going to work today, am I going there thinking, well, the Niners are in a great spot, I don't have to do anything today? No, I got to be on my toes. And today, what is the issue? McCaffrey. It is officially McCaffrey watch. Is he at practice? Did he run? Did he sprint? Is he in pads? All that stuff. And how do the 49ers manage this going forward? Thank goodness they have Jordan Mason. He's so good, and I'm really proud of him.
I mean, how many 49ers fans were many others were saying, please run Jordan Mason more. He's so good. Like, let's just not see him in garbage time at the end of games. And the first chance he gets, he was awesome on Monday night, plowing over people, breaking tackles. I love the way he runs. I love how there's no hesitation at all. He just slams into the line of scrimmage as hard and as fast as he can every single time he gets the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I doubt the Niners will have a game this year where the opposing running back runs harder than Mason. I mean, even McCaffrey, who's the best, doesn't run as hard as Mason. It's a special type of style, and I think it reminds people of Marshawn Lynch or whomever. Steven Jackson was that way at one time. This guy feels like he's not just a starting caliber running back, but a really good one, and a guy who's a great fit in this system, and another creation of Bobby Turner. Maybe he doesn't get all the credit, but he developed him along with like a dozen other Pro Bowl running backs over the last 30 years. So this is phenomenal. And again, well, what I want to say is I'm not a cheerleader, so I'm the guy who raises issues. Don't just wear down Jordan Mason like you wore down Elijah Mitchell and Christian McCaffrey. Like, use a mix. Yeah, Jordan Mason's good. He's hot right now. Don't give him 28 carries a game until he gets hurt and be like, damn, who could have seen that coming? Short week, you just gave him 28 carries. Maybe 18 this week, and use Isaac Garendo a little bit.
More carries than any Shanahan running back has ever gotten in a regular season game by Jordan Mason, which, okay. But remember, after the game, Jordan Mason said to Christian McCaffrey, like, how the hell do you do this every week? Because he was sore, which I totally understand. And look, I think it looks right now anyway, Ian Rappaport was on Good Morning Football this morning. He's called McCaffrey a long shot to play in the game this weekend. So assuming McCaffrey is going to be out, I agree with you. You don't have to give Jordan Mason 28 carries. Don't turn him into another Elijah Mitchell, right? Who was great when he was on the field, but unfortunately his body could not hold up. I would love to see Jordan Mason, you know, 15, 16 carries, and put Isaac Arendo back there just for 5-6 carries. You don't have to go crazy, but divide it up a little bit.
Why else is he on the team? Patrick Taylor Jr. is one of your 53 players. Is he here to play special teams? You put him here. You cut Cody Schrader, who seemed like intriguing a little bit in the offseason. It seemed like Bobby Turner liked him. He's gone. Wasn't good enough. So let's see what you got from the from these other two guys. One of them you traded up for and ran a 4-3-3. I think we could see 3-4 carries, see what they got.
Yeah,
and not Debo. Enough of the Debo at running back thing. I don't like it. It doesn't work. And it's not smart.
It doesn't work. Like, that's my thing. It doesn't work anymore. Debo's best runs on the ground come on the end around and the jet sweep, those kind of things. That's fine. But him as a running back, it hasn't worked for a while. It failed on Monday, and it really has not failed, or it has failed since 2021. Teams have,
you know, when it stopped working?
When?
When McDaniel went to Miami. I'm not saying that McDaniel's a better coach than Kyle, but I think they have different skill sets. And I think McDaniel is more of the like creative play designy one. And I think Kyle is very good at taking other people's designs and sequencing them into a coherent, not just a coherent, an excellent script. But I don't know about actual like brainstorms, ideas. Don't know.
Oh, I think also too, like it was new in 2021, right? Like no one really knew that he was going to do it. They've seen it now. They prepared for it. Like I would much rather see Guerrero lined up straight, like in the backfield as a straight up running back. I would much rather see Guerrero than Debo Samuel on Sunday.
One more thing too. It feels like as good as Jordan Mason was in this game, it wasn't all Jordan Mason. It was the blocking.
Yes.
It was Pooney. Like go back and look at Jordan Mason's touchdown run. I want to do a little film breakdown of it now that we all have NFL premium. But it's an incredible blocking scheme. On the front side, you have a double team at the point of attack on the left. On the backside, you have Pooney and Colton McKivitz like in a pass set, inviting the pass rush. And then you have George Kittle and Debo Samuel on the right. They look like they're running routes, and then all of a sudden they block down and really aggressively block a few players out of the play, and Mason has a clear lane to the end zone. It was very creative, and really anyone could have scored that touchdown. So nothing against Jordan Mason, but like there's some really interesting things going on up front with the 49ers right now.
They kicked the hell out of the Jets on the ground. More than 60% of Jordan Mason's rushing yards, 94 of his rushing yards came before contact. So they were moving the Jets the hell out of the club as Jordan Mason was running the ball. And then Jordan Mason broke like 13 tackles in the game also. So that's a pretty damn good combination.
Real quick, can we say that as Niner fans, we probably shouldn't have been too surprised. I mean, given that Javon Kinlaw starts for that team and Solomon Thomas is his backup, like we should have known.
Well, the funniest thing was I heard Jets people say, you know, oh, well, the Jets really feel like they got something in Javon Kinlaw. They got one of the 49ers players. And I'm sitting there like, you don't know
how many times we've heard that about Kinlaw in the offseason. This is the year he gained 30 pounds. Last year it was he lost 30 pounds. He's in way better shape. This year it's like, no. He put it on. It's like, it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. He wants it to happen. It's not going to happen.
It's just not there. Like the guys just suddenly don't like, oh, click. Now I get it. Like now, no. Especially guys with bad knees. And unfortunately for Kinlaw, you know, he's not going to be able to fulfill the promise that he once might have had. Chris Waddell says, speculation Wednesday. Oh boy, here we go. If ownership being annoyed story is true, maybe they feel duped that this Christian McCaffrey is turning into a concerning issue. And Jed is thinking, why the hell are we giving a potentially longtime injured player a big raise just to be out? Should we do it, Grant? Should we do irresponsible speculation?
Yes. And this isn't too irresponsible because, again, I do have a source who's connected and I know who the guy is and he's been writing a lot of things. But we're going way beyond the scope of what he told me. I read the DM I got. I didn't get anything more than that. So what we're talking about here, I think, is bigger than CMC. I think it's bigger than Jed. I think we're talking about Denise and the parents and the whole family. And you got to remember, they're not just owners of the 49ers. They're they have 49ers Enterprises, and they're invested in all kinds of things. So while they're worth a lot of money, they're also in, have that money. That money's tied up in a lot of stuff. It's not just chilling in a Swiss bank account. So they have recently put $200 million into Levi's Stadium to upgrade the luxury suites. $200 million, that's a lot of cash, even for a group that's worth billions. And then last year, they bought out 100% of the ownership shares of the Leeds United football team in the UK, which could become a good investment at some point, but they're not in the Premier League yet. They're in the Championship League. They were relegated a couple of years ago, and right now they're losing money. If they make it to the Premier League, they'll be making lots of money. So that's a potentially great investment for the Niners, but not right now. Right now they're losing money there. They're spending money on the stadium, and they just had to shell out like $100 million in signing bonus money to keep players who are already under contract. So I think maybe that's where some angst could come from. Like, wow, we're spending hella money and not getting the return on the investment that we were expecting at yet. Don't have the Super Bowl yet. Not even a freaking Premier League team yet. And we just spent hella money on Levi's because we're hosting the Super Bowl next year.
And the
hopefully,
World Cup.
Hopefully we're back in the black soon.
The World Cup. Yeah, like, and they're going to make a lot of money on those as well. I know that the NFL has a stadium that has like a pool of money that you can take from to upgrade your stadium. I think, I don't know if it's a loan or if, I think it is a loan. I'm not sure how that works, but I know the NFL has some sort of fund for that kind of thing. But you do have to consider the whole picture with this, right? Because you're talking about the York family and all their business interests, and those other things are a factor. But of course, no 49er fan wants to hear that. We don't give a crap about Leeds and the
agree. And it's like, we're supposed to sympathize with the Yorks and Parag, who might want to be a little bit more fiscally responsible. Well, how's that going with Leeds? Leeds sucks. That's Parag. I love it too. Like, Parag probably went to the Yorks and they're like, look, man, I can make you some money. I know soccer. I can run this team. It'll be great. And now it's like, oh, we're seeing what a Parag Marate run team really looks like with no checks and balances, relentlessly cheap, losing players left and right, not really in contention. Like, Denise, is that what you really want again? Because you tried that with this guy. You've trusted him before, and it didn't work. And it seems like you might need a guy like Kyle and John to push back and force you to pay.
I don't know too much about soccer, but I know that the whole like player acquisition system, it's a whole different ball game when you're talking, comparing it to the NFL. It is not the same thing. I don't want Parag Marate anywhere near this football team. I really don't. Like, let him go do Leeds and leave us the hell alone.
All I know is I looked up Leeds United. I typed in Leeds United on Twitter this morning just to see what's going on with that team. And they lost another one. Their captain of 10 years leaves to go sign with some other team. And like, it seems like that's the news coming out of that. I don't follow it. But anytime I try to peek in, how's Parag doing? Oh, he lost another one and his fan base is livid. The fan base that they have left. So I don't know. Denise feels like, you know, should I have trusted him on this one? Like, I'm trusting Kyle. I'm spending all this money over here. I'm trusting Parag. I'm spending all this money over here. They said it was going to have a great return on the investment, but not yet.
Well, hopefully the Niners will provide that return with another Super Bowl run and a damn Super Bowl championship this year. 50 minus one ers. I see that. That's probably a better way to say that. Who won the Ayuk jersey, Grant? If you're watching on the stream, there's a Brandon Ayuk jersey behind Grant Cohn right now. So have you given it away yet?
I picked a winner. Her name is Michelle Buchanan, but here's the tricky part. I had to email her. She's not on Twitter. The email address she gave said, I'm not going to say what it was, but it said at Ymail. Never heard of that. So I tried at Gmail, said it returned to sender. So I wrote it to Ymail and it seemed to go through, but I haven't heard from her yet. And this wouldn't be the first time that I picked a winner who didn't actually respond to the email. Maybe they think it's a fake. It's not me. So Michelle, if you're watching, you won. But at the same time, you know, Ayuk waits for no man or woman. So if you don't write back soon, this is still on, and I'm going to have to pick another winner in a couple of days. So you got first dibs, but only for like 24 hours. Got to hear back from you.
Yellow Bear says Ymail is Yahoo. Okay. Maybe try at yahoo.com.
I'll try it again today. I want her to get her winnings. And then I'm going to get another jersey and do it all over again because I'm a generous guy. It's all about you.
Look at you. Rogue Ace, thank you very much for the donation. We appreciate that. Speaking of Brandon Ayuk, Grant, Did you see the Manning cast of at all? Have you gone back and watched?
Saw that the clips. Yeah.
Watching, first of all, Eli Manning did an awesome job of just poking Peyton Manning to get him all fired up. When Ayuk drops the touchdown, Peyton Manning goes on a rant about, you got to be in training camp. That's why you're dropping balls. He did not look like himself in week one. He was using his body to catch the ball, which he never does. You could tell Brandon Ayuk was not in peak form in week one.
Absolutely not. I agree with Peyton Manning. It's refreshing to hear an analyst on television actually say the truth, because most of the time these analysts are just saying, oh, everyone here is great, and this guy went to Notre Dame, and he went to Arizona State, and let me tell you about his high school coach. That was good analysis, but also it's a peek into who Peyton Manning was as a leader. It's the kind of thing Steve Young probably could have said, and if Peyton Manning were the quarterback of this team, nothing against Brock, I don't think Ayuk would have done that. Also, Davante Adams was on Hey Kay Adams recently, and he was like, yeah, Peyton's right. You know, I mean, positions are different. Our position, reps matter. It's a reps position, and you got to be there with your quarterback. So, you know, he respects Brandon Ayuk, but, like, this is what's going to happen if you hold out. And it's probably going to have an even bigger effect on him than it had on Nick Bosa last year, who was impacted.
I think it's a little disingenuous for Peyton Manning to tell people, hey, get in camp. Like, Peyton Manning never had to hold out. They paid him immediately what he was worth. Like, it's a different world, but I do think, like, the holdout definitely affected him, and it was hilarious because he was all 49er fans in that moment.
Well, Peyton was so powerful. Not only would he get himself paid, I'm sure he could have gotten Ayuk paid. If he went to ownership and was like, this is my guy, I want him, I mean, we need him in camp, get it done. That carries a lot of weight, and, like, I don't think Brock can do that yet.
No, not yet. Maybe someday, but I think part of it is you have to have a Super Bowl trophy in order to do that.
And maybe your own contract, right? But certain quarterbacks can do that now, have been able to do that. Peyton's one of them. Tom Brady's one of them. Steve Young, Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's what you want. If you're going to give a guy $65 million a year, you want him to not only be, like, a Hall of Fame talent, but, like, a Hall of Fame leader, because someone's got to do it, and you've been given the conch.
And Peyton was never shy about throwing his weight around. Like,
no, he called the freaking plays. It was his team.
Right. To his credit. Yeah. I think Ayuk will be much better this week. I think that, you know, he might not be 100% of what he was. It might take him a couple weeks to ramp up, but I think he'll be much better this week. I think you'll see him get more targets in the game. I am so confident against the Vikings. It's not even fun. I can't wait for this game. I can't wait for this game because I have so many people sitting there trying to tell me how great Sam Darnold played in week one against the trash ass New York Giants. I can't wait to play Sam Darnold this week.
No, I agree. I mean, nothing against Sam Darnold. He has been better than I guess I give him credit for. I totally wrote him off, and at least he's still in the league and starting. And he had a good game last week, and he's become sort of like, he's embraced the general man, the game manager role. He's finally not trying to do too much, which is a good look for him. And I just think he's going to crash and burn this week against the 49ers. I think they're going to force him into lots of mistakes, and we're going to see the Sam Darnold that we've always seen. But I'm open-minded to being wrong. They do have a good running back. Aaron Jones is always good against the 49ers. So if they can actually run the ball, they have a chance.
Last week, I got a lot of heat because I believe it was with you when I said I was taking the Jets +4. Obviously, that did not work out for me, Grant. This week, Niners are favored by 6 on the road. They haven't won Minnesota since 1992. I don't care, okay? I do not care. Go to BetUS.com right now. Take the points. They're offering 150% bonus on your first 3 deposits up to $2,000. Just use code YouTube150. Go there. Take it now, because it's only going to go up. I guarantee you it'll be up more. By the time this game actually kicks off, you're going to have to give more points. So take it now. 6 points? Are you kidding me? Sam Darnold could throw 6 pick sixes in this game. Take the Niners.
Okay, let's use some words of caution here. These teams played last year, and Brian Flores did a really good job against the 49ers offense in that game. Now, they were missing Trent Williams and Debo Samuel. But they did have Christian McCaffrey. They also didn't have Dominic Pooney, who's really freaking good. But Flores likes to blitz, and the Niners have had issues picking up blitzes because that's not Brock Purdy's job. It's Jake Brendel's job. And according to Chris Forster, he had a lot of missed assignments last year. So that's going to be an interesting matchup, especially if anything were to happen to Jordan Mason, because after him, I don't know what the running back situation is. Also, this is one that may not be relevant, but remember in 2012, the Niners were coming off a NFC Championship appearance, probably should have won that game. I think they started the season 2-0 in 2012, go to Minnesota and lose to Christian Ponder, and then go on to the Super Bowl that year. So funny things happen in sports, particularly in that city.
Yeah, for whatever reason, Minnesota has not been a very hospitable environment to the 49ers. I don't care. I'm taking the 49ers and giving the points. I would go and take the Sam Darnold over on interceptions, whatever that is. I know you're going to bet on football. You might as well do it with BetUS. They have fast and easy deposit and withdrawal processes. They have 24/7 personalized service, 365 days a year, and you get 10% back on your net losses twice a year. You won't need that for this particular bet if you take the 49ers, but it is a nice thing to have in your back pocket. I went back today and watched some of that game, the Minnesota game from last year, just to see. It was so frustrating. Kirk Cousins drops back. His first read is open almost every time. There was no pressure on Kirk Cousins because he could immediately get the ball out of his hands, and they were just peppering the 49ers going down the field left, right, and center. I'm hoping that the 49ers are going to be able to get a little more pressure on Sam Darnold, and if they do, he's going to put the ball in harm's way.
Did they get a lot of pressure on Rodgers, in your opinion?
They got some, but he got rid of the ball in 2.3 seconds.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the scheme over in Minnesota, too. They're going to run the ball a lot. I was a little underwhelmed by their pass rush, the Niners, so that's going to be big. I mean, their run defense was excellent. Excellent. What's their pass rush going to be like, and how are they going to match up not only with Justin Jefferson, but Jordan Addison? Those are two really good wide receivers. And if the way I saw it was Tre'Davious Ward stayed on the left side of the field, mm-hmm. and Rodgers stayed away from him. Well, what if the Vikings put Justin Jefferson on, against Yottam or against Lenore? Are the Niners going to let that happen, or will they eventually have Tre'Davious Ward shadow Justin Jefferson? Because that's, to me, like the game-winning matchup for the 49ers. They could potentially lose this game if Justin Jefferson goes crazy. He's that good. But not against Tre'Davious Ward. So I think that's an adjustment that Nick Sorensen can make that's checkmate.
It'd be interesting because we saw, I think it was the second or third Jets drive, Rodgers just started going to Wilson. Just boom. One, especially on third down. I think they converted three or four third and sevens on that drive, and they all went to Garrett Wilson. And then the Niners adjusted, and Garrett Wilson did nothing, basically, for the rest of the game. I think he might have had two more catches, and at least one of them came on a screen that was behind the line of scrimmage.
Yes. Now,
Garrett Wilson is very good. He's not Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in the league, and he didn't play in last year's game. Remember, he was out for that game. So that obviously changes things for the Vikings offense. But I'm fascinated by that matchup. It's a great test for Ward. It's a great test for D'Amador Lenore, who every time I see him play, I just get higher and higher on him as a corner. It's going to be a massive test for sure for this secondary. And I think they're going to be up to the challenge. I really do.
I think they will, too. I mean, Tre'Davious Ward, to me, is still the most underrated player on the team. I think he's as good as anyone. He's, when he's at his best, which has been for the last year or so, he's a shutdown cornerback who can intercept the ball as well. And then Lenore, he's 5'10", so he sometimes can get beat at the catch point by really aggressive, bigger receivers. But if you throw at him enough, you're going to throw a pick. So good luck. You might get him a couple of times in some very difficult contested catches, and then you're going to get picked off. That tip and interception from him to Demetrius Landing-Fells was just, it wasn't even that bad of a throw. It was just an incredible play. So then you got to take your chances with Isaac Yottam, who gave up a few catches but was like not getting burned. So it's tough. You better have a great tight end. And even then, I mean, I don't know.
So if you're watching on the stream right now, you can see the Aaron Rodgers pass chart. There are three passes thrown to the hash mark on the right side of the field. One was a deep touchdown, and there was one that was 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, and the other one's behind the line of scrimmage, and that is it. And that is where Tre'Davious Ward lined up on 50 of the 51 snaps he was in there. So he did an awesome job in week one.
And what's crazy about that particular position is, like, unless he intercepts a ball, no one's going to talk about him. Mm-hmm. But really, like, that's as good as a cornerback can do in a game. Like, he should be mentioned among, Jordan Mason and Brock Purdy, but he won't be. That's okay. It's the nature of the position.
And the deep touchdown, by the way, came on the free play. Aaron Rodgers did the Aaron Rodgers special. Not saying that that was the only reason why they got the touchdown, but I'm just pointing that out. A Rogue Ace says, George Odom is not a good safety. When does the rookie start? I don't think we're going to see Malik Mustafa start. I think it's going to be Odom until Hufanga is well enough to come back. Kyle said yesterday on his conference call that Hufanga has a shot to play this week. And remember, they didn't put him on IR. They activated him from the PUP list. So they're telling you they think he's going to be back within these first 4 weeks of the season. We already have 1 week down. So hopefully we are getting closer to the Talanoa Hufanga return. But I don't think Mustafa is going to get a start for this team.
I would agree. And this would be a pretty nice week to have Hufanga back, considering Aaron Jones, again, has had a lot of success against the 49ers.
I don't like this comment from Chris Waddell. Chris, you gave us the nice Super Chat donation earlier. You've given us another nice one here. I'll never wish for a 49ers loss, Chris says, but if it happens, I cannot wait for the stats meltdown afterwards. It's going to be epic. I will have to eat a giant bag of crap if Sam Darnold beats the 49ers, because I have been railing against how I think he stinks forever. So if that happens, I'll do it if it happens, but I'm pretty confident that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, after all the stuff we've talked about Darnold the last couple of years, if he actually beats the Niners, that would be pretty amusing, and we'd both have to eat a lot of crow. Also, I don't root for injuries ever, but you know, if something were to happen and Jimmy Garoppolo would have to start week three, I wouldn't be opposed to it. You know, maybe Stafford gets a stomach bug and he can't play that, or something happens, you know? And Jimmy gets to, come on, who wouldn't want to see that?
Is his suspension over?
Yes, I think, I think it would end week three.
Okay.
It was a two-week suspension, I believe.
So you want Sam Darnold revenge game, Jimmy Garoppolo revenge game, back-to-back weeks for the Niners.
Is that too much to ask for? Yes.
You know, if Sam Darnold were to miss a play for some reason, the backup quarterback for the Vikings is Nick Mullins. So, like, there is no escape from former 49ers quarterbacks in Minnesota.
I love this, man. There's so much potential this week.
I don't think that I'm going to have to eat
Nick
that.
Nick Mullins riding off on the shoulders of his teammates, fist pumping.
And even just like I heard on the broadcast, Sam Darnold said, "Oh, I learned how to prepare at another level with the 49ers." It's like, okay, like, why can't we just admit that Sam Darnold did not get any better as a player because he played in a game and a half, not even a game and a half, a game and a quarter with the 49ers last year? But we still want to sell this Sam Darnold rehab story.
You ever have like friends that go to coding boot camp and they learn in like a few weeks how to do JavaScript or whatever code, and now they're in like some tech industry and they're making money?
I've heard of that. Yes.
Yeah, it happens. And they all of a sudden they have a career and they make money. It's great. That's kind of what it feels like a quarterback going to the Niners. Like you're not going to teach you how to play quarterback, but they're going to install some software into your brain. They're going to teach you their system. And what's great is that like 10 teams use this freaking system around the league, and now you'll be employable. Not because we improved your footwork or your throwing mechanics, but you just now you know a new language and you're employable. Great.
It's just funny. Like we hear the Javon Kinlaw hype and everybody's like, oh yeah, right. It's the same exact thing with Sam Darnold. They're doing the exact same thing with Sam Darnold and Javon Kinlaw. Yet for some reason, some people buy into it. I don't get it. Moises Rosales says, why are we so confident San Francisco is going to beat Minnesota, much less cover six, when we had the same confidence last year and got shamed losing to Minnesota? Fair question. I think a couple different things for me. One, I think Kirk Cousins is a way better quarterback than Sam Darnold. Of course, Kirk played in that game. Two,
Kirk was good in that game, although he was terrible week one. Awful.
Yeah. He couldn't move. Did you?
Oh.
I saw a stat. They were in two formations 96% of the time, shotgun and pistol. They didn't do a single run out of shotgun all day, and they ran the ball 80% of times out of pistol. That means he can't move. He's not all the way back yet.
They're like tipping their plays. Just by alignment, you know what they're going to do.
And you could tell TJ Watt was like, they're not going to do any rollouts. They're not going to do any bootlegs. I'm not worried about like having the backside. I'm just coming every time. And that's why he totally wrecked that game.
Pause. Hey, you know, it really seems like having Cousins.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us.
Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
And Rodgers is like the two worst quarterback situations in the league right now. Older guys, can't move, Achilles restructure, reconstruction, and they're expensive.
Yeah, that's not combos. And meanwhile, Atlanta has like the number eight pick in the draft on the bench as a backup quarterback. That is a weird.
Can I say something too? Like, I've been flirting with this idea. I want to take it back forever and never ever say it again. And I'm sorry for even floating it. Do not trade for Kirk Cousins. No, he's done. Goodbye. God. Do not do that. He's not an option. It's not like, well, you know, if Brock wants too much money, nope, absolutely not. No.
Let that dream die, please. Getting back to the question. So I think that one, Kirk Cousins was way better than Sam Darnold. I have no confidence in Darnold. I think the 49ers are going to be better. You mentioned Pooney in the offensive line. I think they're going to be able to run the ball in this game. Christian McCaffrey had a fumble. Remember, the Niners intercepted Kirk Cousins on the first possession, and they get the ball, and they're set up in scoring range, and McCaffrey fumbles the ball and loses the ball. Plus, we had the famous play before halftime, which I think, Grant, was like the beginning of the end of the Steve Wilks.
Which is wild to me, because if you watch that play again, the ball hits Tre'Davious Ward in the chest.
Yep.
Easily could have been the best call of the year from freaking Steve Wilks.
And then he had to go publicly apologize.
Like, what was the worst thing he did? What he did was he trusted Tre'Davious Ward at the end of the, you know what? I would have trusted him too. And you know what I hate? How a coach who's doing great for the first half, a defensive coach, playing aggressively, calling blitzes, shutting an offense out. Minute and a half left in the half. All of a sudden, you go to your 2-minute defense, which freaking sucks. And you give up a field goal or a touchdown. It's like, what happened, man? Why would you change what was working? So you know what, Steve? I thought it was a decent call. I bet Tre'Davious Ward appreciated it too.
I didn't like the call because they had no timeouts. Kirk Cousins stopped the ball with 17 seconds left, and the Vikings had no timeouts.
There's so that.
Me, it was like just
there's that
the field, and
when you put it that way, Rob.
Yeah, that was my problem with it. But you're right. I mean, the ball hits Mooney Ward in the chest. He has the ball intercepted, and then Addison rips it away. But let's see, Nick Sorensen. Like, don't make that same mistake, right? You had a nice showing in Week One, a very good showing. Really, the Jets scored a touchdown at the end of the game that was completely garbage time. Didn't mean anything. Well, that'll be a feather in your cap for Nick Sorensen, right? If you go in and shut the Vikings down, you'd be like, hey, the guy that I replaced couldn't do that. Now, the Vikings only scored 22 in the game, but still, it'd be good for Sorensen to have another good showing.
Absolutely. And now he's going again. I mean, like last week, no offense to Nick Sorensen, but I still feel like we don't know what he can do. You went up against Nathaniel Hackett. Great. Yeah. He sucks. I mean, we saw there was no creativity with that offense. It's like we're handing off to Breece Hall and we're throwing to Breece Hall. And sometimes we'll throw to Garrett Wilson and maybe Lazard here and there. And that is freaking it. That is what we do. Like, I think the Vikings have a little bit more creativity. Kevin O'Connell seems like a pretty good coach. He comes from the Kyle Shanahan's, Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak tree. Probably a bigger test. Also, again, Sam Darnold, not good. Justin Jefferson, the best. Jordan Addison, excellent or very good. And Aaron Jones is a hell of a player. So it's a test.
The other difference from that game, of course, is Trent Williams is going to play in this one. And look, we know last year, the 49ers could only run left. They just couldn't. This year, guess what? If you're watching on the stream right now, you can see the Jordan Mason chart. Some of their biggest runs, Grant, were to the right side behind Pooney and McKivitz. That's a huge difference for the 49ers this year. So not only is Trent there as opposed to last year when he wasn't, but also you can actually use half of the field in the ground game.
Absolutely. And again, I want to break down that Mason touchdown run. A lot of the times what the Niners would do is they would put Kittle next to Trent Williams on the left and just go to work on that side. But in this run, they have the inside zone to the left, but it's a clear design cutback to the right. And you have Kittle on the backside, Debo on the backside, and they make the key blocks while Pooney and Colton McKivitz are in like pass sets. It's very, very creative. And I think the Niners are going to use this against teams right now. Like teams are all loaded up on stopping the Trent Williams side runs. So watch the Niners gash them to the right as people slowly figure out how freaking good Dominic Pooney is.
First of all, who is this Grant Cohn that's coming on the show and doing film breakdowns of running plays? Like,
it's been a long time. It's been a long time. I used to do it. I got to get back into it, man. I'm inspired because it's Dominic Pooney. It's the Dominic Pooney. I like when there's a young player on. Sometimes I'm jaded and I'm like, man, this team is like, I'm tired of this freaking team. I didn't say that out loud, but I like that when there's like a young player who's new, who just makes me just exuberant to cover the team. Jordan Mason's that way. Dominic Pooney's that way. It feels like, sometimes I feel like with the Niners, not to be too jaded, is like I'm watching a TV show and it's like the 11th season and it's very repetitive. But Dominic Pooney is a nice new little character that they've thrown in there. I like the Dominic Pooney character in the story arc.
I like that he's got a little something to him. I saw Kyle Posey tweet out, I'm going to throw it on the screen. Pooney throws a Jets defender down on the one of the Jordan Mason runs, and he flexes afterwards. Like, oh, like he's not just like, oh shucks, I'm going out there. He's like, no, I'm going out there.
Let's go
beast some people. And I love it. I love the fact that everything we've heard about Dominic Pooney has been proven to be true. We heard about him in training camp. Then we got to see him with our own eyes in the preseason. Now we've seen him in week one in the regular season. It's all held up.
Also, I feel like there are some picks that are just good process from an organization that knows how to draft a particular position. And then there's lucky picks. And both count. But like George Kittle, man, where did he come from? Fifth round pick, they've never drafted a good tight end. Lucky pick. Pooney. I mean, they don't do so well drafting offensive linemen. They drafted Spencer Burford. Like, they've had some misses. And when they do hit, it's usually guys who are like serviceable kind of for their system. Like, Pooney in round three, you got a potential Pro Bowl right guard in round three. Like, wow, that's incredible. And also Brock Purdy, of course. Like, where did that come from? But those picks really helping.
Well, they explained their offensive line philosophy this preseason. It was basically just pick guys that are good enough, essentially. And then
Pooney's too good for them. He's almost better than what they look for. Like, oh, whoa, slow down, Dominic.
I think the thinking is like, hey, if we get guys that are good enough, great. And look, like Forrester said, when you miss on that, when you're aiming for good enough and you miss, you get terrible, which is a lot of what they've had. But if you also hit, then all of a sudden it's like, oh my God, we got a guy that's not just not Spencer Burford. We've got a guy that's actually a plus. He's more than just not a liability. He's a plus. And Pooney's looked great in pass protection. He's looked great on the ground. And like I said, it could change the whole offense now because they can actually use the right side of the field.
I got a hot take. It's only been one game for this guy.
All right, here we go.
He's better than Aaron Banks.
Yeah, he might be.
And nothing against Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks is a perfectly solid, fine player. Pooney's better. Pooney is really freaking good. And he, like, you need players like this. How are the Niners going to get over the hump? It's not going to be from Nick Bosa giving more or Purdy giving more. I mean, they've already done it. Like, you need someone new to step up. Jordan Mason, not even Jordan Mason, because the Niners are always going to have a good running game no matter who's back there. Nothing against Jordan Mason. Pooney's freaking important. He's really freaking important. He's new.
It's a lot easier to go from 5 wins to 10 wins than it is to go from 10 wins to 12 or from 12 to a Super Bowl. Like, it's right. It's incremental increases here and there. And the Pooney thing could be a big part of it, especially if he doesn't go rogue and the biggest player of the Super Bowl. Anyway, let's get some more Super Chats. Mark Salas says, do the 49ers pick up Matt Breida? I don't think they need to get another running back unless something happens to somebody now, but I think they're good now with Jordan Mason and Isaac Arendo and Patrick Taylor.
Mark, I wouldn't be against it. I think Breida's got a little bit more to offer as a running back than Patrick Taylor. I think Patrick Taylor's on the team because of what he can do on special teams, which is lame because the new rule, it made it worse. It made it worse. There are more kick what's the touchbacks now than before? Ridiculous.
It's worked too well, right? Because like when the kick gets returned, you're like, man, this could potentially be big. And it's got coaches so worried that they just kick it out of the end zone. I think if they really want guys to return the kick, you're going to have to make the touchback like the 35 or the 40, and then they'll be incentivized to not do that. But until then, it's just kick it.
Just start every drive in the red zone.
I like the Niners' philosophy. They're like, we're going to put Debo back there and dare people to kick it to us. And Kyle doesn't even care that if teams kick it out of the back of the end zone, because he's like, great, that means we can't fumble. So he's perfectly happy for that to happen. Chris Waddell says, I 100% want to face Jimmy over Matt Stafford. Stafford can go into God mode at times, and that's scary. Also, Warner might have 4 picks if Jimmy plays. He might have 4 picks on 4 passes if Jimmy plays.
Yeah, obviously, but you're not thinking about it from my perspective. You're being selfish, Chris.
Official B&A Music says, last year, the 49ers apologist had to come themselves. Sam Darnold was good and now have to say he's cheeks and can't beat San Francisco. Oh, I see what he's saying. Like, when Sam Darnold became the 49ers quarterback, some 49ers fans were like, oh, you know, he could be better than normal in Kyle's system. And then now he's gone. They're crapping all over him. Not me, Official B&A Music. I've been crapping all over Sam Darnold from the second he was here. My story has never changed on him.
Do you think Lombardi's going to predict a tie this week? How could he actually predict against Darnold? That'd be tough.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about David Lombardi. Why waste my time? Jonas says, lifelong 49ers and Leeds fan here. Sold players for $200 million in 24, most by any club in Europe. Leeds are a top 10 merch sales in Europe as well.
Okay.
I don't know if that's good or bad. It's not a knock. I literally don't know anything about soccer.
I guess he's saying they made money. From what I heard, they didn't. They're not making money with that team, right? They got merch, though.
I have no idea. I can't say. They better be making money because that's the only thing Parag is good at. So if you're not doing that, like, what's he there for?
I think it's hard to make money when you're in the Championship League and not the Premier League. They were going to get boosted back up this year, but they didn't. So I don't know. Maybe next year.
My only knowledge of soccer comes from Ted Lasso. And watching my kid play soccer on Saturdays, which something tells me there are some nuances there that I
know. It was funny 10 years ago when everyone was telling us that soccer was going to become really big in America, and then it didn't. It's funny.
Soccer has been America's next big sport since 1980. Like,
yeah, but it's not. I even played the sport. I played the sport throughout my childhood in the high school. I was on the varsity team for 2 years. Never owned a soccer ball or watched the sport ever. It was just something to do to fit in.
Scott Alexander, YouTube channel member, says, did Burford play left guard or left tackle in college? I believe he played some
tackle.
Left guard. Was it only tackle or was it guard too?
Maybe he played some guard. I know he was at UTSA, which was kind of a smaller school, and he was by far their best offensive lineman, so he was at left tackle, kind of like Pooney at Kansas. But I know Pooney played some guard as well.
I heard that he was more comfortable on the left side, and they were awesome. On Monday, the whole line was awesome. I saw this tweet. Let me see if I can throw it on the screen. Nick Wagner had the tweet. Nick Wagner's had a bunch of good tweets. The Niners O-line is a unit featured a 96.1% pass block win rate. That's like the whole line basically being Trent Williams. Trent, Aaron Banks, and Spencer Burford had perfect 100% marks. So maybe Burford can at least be a little better on the left side than he was on the right side. Plus, you know, he gets the benefit of playing next to Trent Williams, which is probably giving him a little bit of a boost too. But if Aaron Banks, you know, that calf contusion can't go, it seems like Burford can be good enough in that spot.
Let me go back real quick and explain what I know about this Leeds thing. So the Niners own Leeds, and they thought they were going to get promoted to the to Premier League this year. And if they had, they would have gotten about 170 million pounds, which is about $222 million. This was around the time of the Super Bowl. And since then, since they're not promoted into the Premier League, they've lost around 33 million pounds in the last couple of years. So, and they're due to lose money again this year. So I don't know, maybe they'll get it back on merch, but I think the Yorks are kind of like chagrined that this didn't work. I think when they planned this out long-term, they'd be making money by now. They were in the Premier League. They were, I don't know. That's what I've learned.
I can't argue with you. I have no idea.
I think our next show, we should only talk soccer.
I know that you've got many people in the chat riled up. So congratulations there.
Good.
Country Music says, last time we won in Minnesota was 32 years ago. Here comes another loss. That doesn't, like, have any effect on Sunday's game. It doesn't. Like, I know it's a cool stat, but, like, it really doesn't affect anything that's going to happen this weekend.
Well, it is a hostile environment. I think it's a loud stadium. Yeah. They may pipe in music. Who knows? I mean, noise. Who knows? But I've never been there. I'm excited.
I've heard it's very, very loud. It's a gorgeous stadium. I was there. The Super Bowl was there a few years ago. It's awesome. I've heard it's one of the louder stadiums. Like, it is kind of a challenging place to play. And that Shanahan actually mentioned that on his conference call yesterday with Pooney specifically. Like, hey, you know, this is going to be his first road game. That changes things a little bit for a rookie. So we'll have to see. But yeah. I don't care that they, like, didn't win in the Metrodome in 1995 or whatever. Like, it doesn't have an effect. Chris Waddell says, can we get
if they lose to Sam Darnold, it's not going to be like, well, it was the stadium. Like, no, you lost to freaking Sam Darnold. We have to have a discussion.
Yeah, exactly. Chris says, can we get a Lombardi versus Cone debate, please, with stats moderating? Let me tell you, I do a better job than the moderators we saw yesterday, but that's neither here nor there. He won't do
Look, I'm not a big political guy, but I thought just for comedy, like, their timing and the tone of the way they were interjecting was just hilarious. I was laughing. So I thought that was good.
They can never do, and it's kind of like, well, I'll just say
like Trump would say something and the guy would be like, that's not true. It didn't happen. And then moving on. No one is eating babies. No one is eating. It's like, okay, well, good to know. Thank you.
The moderators community notes. Be there for us. And they're not, because they know if they tick off the candidates, that network won't get the debate. The next debate 4 years.
True. From now.
So it's a whole thing. But anyway, we won't get a Lombardi versus Cone debate because David doesn't want to do it.
I guess it's that he feels like he has nothing to gain. I would be up for it. I think it'd be a lot of fun. It'd be good for the culture.
That would get some views. Let me just say that would definitely, yeah.
That should be like a pay-per-view event. You know what I mean? Then we could box afterwards.
49. I'm surprised that's not a thing. Is that a thing? Can you do like a paid pay-per-view, like YouTube stream? I guess like for members only, you could do something like that.
You really could. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to see.
Maybe we should do ours members only. Do you understand how much money we could make if we started?
I don't have the kind of YouTube membership that you have, Grant, Mr. 70,000
Not yet.
Subscribers.
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. More on the Vikings game. What carries over from week one to week two is the question that I keep asking myself. I think Jordan Mason will still be good. I think the biggest thing is going to be the run defense. Can they stop Aaron Jones the way they stopped Breece Hall? I think the Vikings have a better offensive line than the Jets. Jets have an old offensive line with a lot of new faces, and it was their first game together. Vikings have a little bit more continuity along the offensive line. That's going to be the big test. And if the Niners come out 2 weeks in a row and shut down the run, that will make me feel light years better about this defense, especially considering they had no Dre Greenlaw.
Look, Rob, I don't expect the Vikings to win this game. If the Niners lose, it's a big problem. So I'm just going to give them the benefit of the doubt, assume they're going to win. What am I looking to learn in this game? I mean, I still feel like we have more to learn about the quarterback. Like, he's good. He's very good. Christian McCaffrey's probably not going to play. And in this last game, I felt like without McCaffrey, he was solid. He managed the game. He made one bad decision. Kyle talked about it. Other than that, he was very smart. He protected the football. He got away from pressure. He had time a lot of, I mean, he was good. But is he a high-level game manager, or is he a future Hall of Famer that needs to be here long-term and make a lot of money? I want to another game on the road without Christian McCaffrey. We'll learn stuff. We won't get the answer to that question, but we'll get more information.
And that's what this year is about. I mean, obviously, yes, winning a Super Bowl and all that stuff. But bigger picture, when you're making your quarterback decision, it's about the information that we get in these next 15, 16 games in the regular season and hopefully beyond that. And for the love of God, if he throws a touchdown, can we hang on to it, please? Can we hang on to the football?
That was his best throw of the game. It was a great throw. One of the best throws of his career.
Eli and Peyton on the Manning cast both said, "Oh, what a throw at the exact.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. And if you get both Mannings to say that, I mean, you're legit.
Yeah. Slick Like Ninja 247 says, "Did you announce who won the jersey? Love you, Grant." We did.
Michelle Buchanan, she has 24 hours to claim her prize. I emailed her last night. If she doesn't want it or acknowledge me, then I'm going to pick someone else. So there's still time if you want to enter. If you want to learn how to enter, go check out the community post or my Twitter.
Josh Wyatt, YouTube channel member. Shout out to all our YouTube channel members. If you want to become one of the gold standard, it's less than $3 a month. Please do consider it. It's a great way to support the channel. You get custom emojis, membership badges, priority comment response. Josh says, "Net revenue projected to go from a record $510 million, I assume this is for Leeds United, to $650 million.
No, it's for the Niners.
Oh, is it? The ownership is ecstatic about John and Kyle. Oh, I didn't read the rest of it. The credible sources are unanimous. This is not about money. It's about Parag and power." Maybe Parag's the one that's upset about the financial situation of the club.
Maybe. Well, we'll see.
The Yorks are not losing money on the 49ers. They're not. They're not.
No, they're not losing money on the 49ers, but they're spending way more than they bargained for, than they planned for.
Good teams are expensive. Just keep writing the checks, Yorks. That's all you got to do. 29er says, "JP had a great game."
You can say, "Just win the Super Bowl, Kyle. That's all you got to do." They've been writing the checks.
Great. Say it to both. JP had a great game, was on such a high after hate how the Niners totally broke his spirit for not knowing to follow their lie. Hope it doesn't affect his play. Yeah, so this is a little interesting thing, and this is one of the things I wanted to sneak into on the show. So Jordan Mason says after the game, "I knew on Friday that I was going to start." Well, the problem is on Saturday, the Niners didn't have Christian McCaffrey listed as out on the injury report. They had him listed as questionable. That is going to tick off the sports books that do so much business on the NFL, because anyone that bet on Jordan Mason's anything made a lot of money because he hit all the overs on everything because they thought that Christian McCaffrey was going to play in the game. After the game, Kyle Shanahan specifically said, "No, I didn't tell him that. I told him he might get more carries, but I never explicitly told him he was going to start." And then when Jordan Mason got to the podium, he was upset because clearly the Niners had yelled at him and said, "You shouldn't have said we told you you were going to start on Friday." I watched the Manning cast, Grant, before the show. Peyton Manning, in so many words, all but admitted that he had a conversation with Brock Purdy on Friday or Saturday and that Brock was hyping up Jordan Mason in the game. So to me, it kind of seemed like Peyton knew ahead of time that Christian McCaffrey was not going to play. But there's no investigation into it. The NFL is not looking into it. Doesn't look like the 49ers are going to get in any sort of trouble. I don't think it hurts that John Lynch is on the competition committee now. And generally, when you got a representative on the competition committee, the league goes very, very soft on stuff like this with you. Just look at the Atlanta Falcons and Rich McKay. The Falcons didn't hardly get punished for multiple violations of the rules. And it looks like the Niners are going to skate on this one.
Yeah, and even if they had gotten punished, the punishment would have been a fine, which, you know, that's just pass it on over to Denise. Hey, we need one more. We messed up. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure what the Niners said to the league. I'm not sure. I'm guessing what the Niners said to the league was, "Jordan, he misspoke. He didn't hear us right. But what we told him, I mean, unless they can prove that the 49ers actually said he was starting, there's nothing they can do. There's no proof."
That's the thing, is that if I were the 49ers, I would be like, "How do you know? Just because he misinterpreted what we told him." That would be my defense if I was.
Wouldn't be the first time. They can say whatever.
Josh Wyatt says, "I don't know who your source is, Grant, but a bunch of small creators got the same shady scoop at the same time, and you're the only one who ran with it."
That's not true. That's not true. I got the scoop, and then a bunch of people said they heard the same thing, but who knows? I mean, they could have heard that a long time ago. I was the person that put it out there. We don't know when it all came out. I think you're connecting dots that aren't there. This is my source, okay? This guy has been giving me information about stuff that other people weren't responding, reporting at all. So we'll see about that, Joshua. I think my guy's legit. I'm going to leave it at that. Also, I've been vetting him. I know how he's connected. I know he or she.
Have you communicated with this source since they gave you that info?
No. I could, though. I could communicate with he or she right now if I wanted to. But, you know, I usually don't go out there looking to break news. Sometimes news comes to me. But I can go back and be like, what's up? Are they still mad?
You got
on a scale of 1 to 10, how mad are we talking?
You got a lot of criticism and blowback after you came out with that. And so I was just wondering if the source had maybe seen some of that or heard some of that and gotten back in touch with you or vice versa. See, now I'm trying to break a little news on this show.
No. I could ask the guy again, but I don't know. I did get a lot of blowback. A lot of people wanted to talk about it and just to say it wasn't credible. Don't you love that? Like engagement farming. It's like, you know what? We need to talk about Grant's report. This shouldn't be talked about. This is completely right. It's not right. He sucks. It's like, all right, well, I'm glad you profited off of that.
Josh Wyatt is back with another super chat. Thank you, Josh. You're getting played, Grant. This is the exact playbook that Parag has run every time he is at risk of losing power.
So Parag planted a source who was going to give me little pieces of information about the 49ers roster just to set me up for this big one down the line. I don't buy it.
Well, and also, like, how does this help Parag? Like, I don't know why. How would leaking that to you give Parag any more power or better standing in the organization?
Also, there's like information that the organization wants to leak, and there's information that gets out because there's a leak, and it's the second one, not the first. So this is not something the Niners want out there, which is why people rushed to say it wasn't credible. But then we heard Jay Glazer said that the Niners were in the process of trading Brandon Ayuk and that Kyle Shanahan had to personally like step in the room and put a stop to it, which kind of shows you that the upper ups with the 49ers, that wasn't what they wanted to do. It's what Kyle wanted to do. And of course they're going to defer, but you don't know how they feel about deferring constantly.
And Kyle basically confirmed that story after the game as well. Last super chat here. We're going to sneak in before we go. Chris Waddell says, did your guy leak to everyone or did everyone just report on your report?
The second one.
Right. You got the info and then other people said that they had heard the same thing, but not necessarily that they had heard that from the same source.
No, these are just people who say that they're very close to the organization in their own ways. And I don't know how. Everyone has their own sources, but at least four people said, yeah, I've heard similar things. And it was Lobs all day. It was 80 49ers. It was Ryan G. Hensley. And it was Jesse Naylor. Four guys.
I know a lot of people were mad by that. Just because it makes you mad doesn't necessarily mean it's not true. And even if they are upset, who cares? Because the 49ers are really good at football. They proved it in week one. I think they're going to prove it again in week two. Let's focus on
the Super Bowl. They're going to be really, 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 really happy.
Right. And that is obviously the job for the 49ers. We'll see if they get it done. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please rate, review, and follow the Gold Standard Podcast Network wherever you get your audio pods. Like and subscribe to both YouTube channels, the Gold Standard Network YouTube channel and Grant's channel as well. If this is your first time watching a Gold Standard show, thank you very much. Please stick with us. I promise you we will continue to earn your time. We're live every single day, every single weekday, and we're live after games as well. Grant, hope you have a good time at the facility today. Say what's up to Kyle for me.
I absolutely will. Hey, Kyle, Rob says hello.
I'm sure he would really, that would just make his day.
Mm-hmm.
I have met him before multiple times, but there's no chance in hell that he remembers me.
How was he, a gentleman?
Yeah, it was very nice. It was right after after his first year on the job. We were talking about the Rams game. Remember that Rams game where they were down and then they came back at the end and there was a BS offensive pass interference penalty as the Niners were trying to. We were commiserating about that. But
was that Brian Hoyer?
Yeah.
Yep. That was a long time ago, man.
Yeah, that was early Shanahan. Yeah. Sure. All right. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks.
Ohio football fans, picture this.
You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.